As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I am heading off to look at a college with my son later this summer. Try as I might, as he grows older, he will be looking beyond the circle of family and high school for guides. He will be developing familiarity and loyalties about things I know little about and to people that I have never met. Young adulthood is a time of exploring in the world, working a job, learning how to pay your bills on time, and it is also when in young adulthood that we began to develop loyalties and commitments that define who we are. We keep doing this throughout our lives, but often the most powerful choices that shape us are made at this age. Military recruiters interact with young people at this age, men and women who come to talk about their possible future in the military, to serve their country, or to learn a skill, learn a discipline, or simply be part of something greater than themselves. And the recruiters who walk them through their options and are helpful, the recruiters are the warm, friendly guys who were on this job, who have been selected for this work as a recruiter because they can talk about their work and they have already served honorably and happily in the military. They are positive and helpful in personality. They help countless men and women chart a path toward discipline and self-respect and service as young people head into one of the branches of the military. Tragically, this week, a young man shot and killed ultimately 5 Marines and wounded others, men he never saw face to face, in an ideological statement. And we will be learning more in coming weeks about he came to do such a heinous act. People are guessing at this point, and they are calling him a homegrown terrorist or possibly someone who was radicalized via the internet. How did this young man lose his way and choose such a path to kill men in uniform he had never met? How can an extreme form of ideology pull in a guy who had grown up in the area around Chattanooga and who even went to college there and who was working there despite having been born in the Mideast? These days we have this phenomenon in which teens and young adults can go on the internet and find friends and support that can shape them, giving them knowledge or feeding them lies, building bridges and friendships, or further isolating them and making their views more extreme, even violent. There are enemies out there who wish to tear down and destroy, and the internet is a shortcut to reaching the vulnerable ones whom they wish to influence. Whom shall the next generation follow? Who will teach and guide them? Young people are searching for meaning, for shepherds to guide them and show them the way. Who in our community are like sheep without a shepherd? In our gospel passage today, Jesus has just received the disciples back from their travels, and they report to him what they have taught. The press of the crowds is great, and he wants to take them away to rest, to recuperate. They head out on a boat to a deserted area, but the crowds walk along the shoreline and get there first. And even as Jesus gets out of the boat, still tired, still hungry, he has compassion upon them because they seem like sheep without a shepherd. And he begins to teach them. I read a story last week about a teacher who was retiring after 32 years. He had been an art teacher in a school in the roughest part of Chicago. When he first got there, There were bullet holes in the windows of his classroom, and he stuffed Beanie Babies in each of the bullet holes in order to turn what was frightening into something the kids could laugh at. In the first few months, he was unable to reach the kids and connect to them. And eventually, though, he hit upon a name, a persona, that drew them out and made them receptive to what he had to teach. He hit upon the name Mr. Spider, and in fact, a kid recently counted at least 32 different spider pictures scattered around the classroom. Under that persona, he began to teach art and give the kids a way to cope, a way to be creative and to express themselves. Have you ever found yourself struggling to put up one of those tents that have those springy external frames? They work great if you can get the ends to go where they're supposed to go, and once you've got it put together right, the whole structure is in tension, with a sort of a crisscross of bent springs holding the whole tent in place. One time, a number of years ago at Port Aransas, my family joined a group of families who liked to camp. We set up our tents together and they had those external frames, but we knew that the sand would not hold our puny tent stakes. So we put our heavy coolers inside the tents. Then we took the kids on a walk on the beach, only to come back and discover that the wind had gone ahead and picked up all our tents and blown them into a pile against a sand dune. Our efforts were not enough. Our coolers could not keep those tents in place, and you can imagine what happened to the coolers after the tents had tumbled over into a pile together. We, the church, are a holy temple, and Jesus is the framework that holds our varied groups together. He is our peace. In our passage in Ephesians, we know that Jesus is also our cornerstone. And in Ephesians, Paul talks about Jesus' blood as being something that holds the church together, keeping us grounded, keeping us connected, keeping us from being blown as a church willy-nilly in whatever direction the wind happens to be blowing. We can be so dismayed and angered by the ways people are led astray into destructive paths by those who wish to manipulate them. Certainly, the world can tap into the hurt and vulnerability of young people in an effort to further their causes. And good people, as happened in Chattanooga, people who are the protectors, the faithful, the reliable, can be killed as a result. But the destroyers, the enemies of the good, will not have the final say. When we are moved by compassion to sit with those who are in need of guidance, helping them, being present, telling them our own stories to teach them that the path will get better, we are being shepherds. Through our work as job counselors, mental health professionals, teachers, employers, and volunteers in so many ways, we live out what Jesus has modeled for us, that to teach is to shepherd. Keep an eye out for those who look like sheep without a shepherd. They need our compassion. Amen.